I'm now joined by Jillian Del Signor, head of ETFs and indexing at Flex, who, if I had to describe them in a nutshell, they leverage technology and certainly their experience to help asset managers better distribute their products. And if you think about that in the context of ETFs, quite simply, they're helping ETF issuers get their products in front of investors. Now, Jillian's background in this area really speaks for itself. She was previously head of ETF distribution at JP Morgan while their assets grew from less than $1 billion to over $30 billion. She's also been at iShares, Goldman Sachs, Federated Investors. She served in various capacities for women in ETFs. And I'm now very pleased to have her on the line with me from Chicago. Jillian, always great connecting. Thanks for joining me.
Nate, good morning. It's great to be with you again.
So my description of Flexer, was that fairly accurate, or do you want to add a little bit of color?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You're on the right track for sure. We are a B2B fintech company, right? We're considered the industry's first resource and asset management platform. Like, we need more acronyms, right? The first RAM. And essentially, we provide a completely modular approach to distribution resources and solutions when and as needed. And that's not just the human capital, right? You'll hear me say that a lot. It's data, media, services, solutions, strategy, corporate strategy, technology. And the solutions are really rooted in distribution. We can provide scale and flexibility, hence the name, to asset managers, including in the context of our conversation, ETF issuers as they seek those distribution solutions. It can be turnkey, also a la carte. I think it's important to take a step back and, we'll talk about this, I think, a lot in the course of the conversation today, and I'm sure you're talking to a lot of folks about it too. And that's really the impact that the regulatory changes in the ETF industry have had on new entrants, right? The ETF rule, the semi-transparent model approvals, as certainly an avid listener of this podcast, I know the conversations that you have around these topics and how it's brought down the barriers to entry, and it's made it so much easier for firms to come into the market and launch product, really innovative product. And we're seeing it, right? Major influx of products into the market, but it's done nothing to solve for distribution. In fact, it's only made it harder, right, for issuers fighting for shelf space, advisor attention. And so these innovative strategies are out there, but the vast majority of ETFs, let us not forget, Nate, you've heard me say this many times, ETFs are sold, not bought, right? There are certain exceptions, but the vast majority are sold, not bought, and distribution is just such a must, as part of that go-to-market plan. And hiring sales professionals on your own is just not something that's always economically viable for everybody. And even if you do hire one or two salespeople, what impact are you having? Are you working with the home office to get platform placement? Are you covering the right advisors? So not to mention marketing, technology, the data requirements that go into an effective distribution plan. It's just not an option. So I was really excited to be able to come to Flex and be able to run the ETF business and bring the solutions that we have into the ETF marketplace.
As an example of what you do, I saw that back in April, Flex announced a strategic relationship with Vidant, who, of course, they offer both their own ETF lineup, and then they're an enormous player in the ETF sub-advisory space with Vidant Investment Advisory. I'm curious, what does that relationship look like? How do you work together?
Yeah, it's so exciting. We're really excited. In fact, I know you had Amrita on just a couple weeks back, and I think she kind of teased at the end of her conversation with you that they were going to have an announcement coming. And this is, we can bring it full circle today. And for those listening, Amrita, the president of VIA Vidant Investment Advisory, I would highly recommend that episode as she talks about the importance of ETF sub-advisory. We had been talking with Vidant on the ETF side, their ETF side. As you mentioned, they do run 4 ETFs of their own. And we had been speaking with them about helping them with their distribution. And, as we started to really think about that, I kept saying, we kept talking with one another and saying, I think there's a there there, right? There's a there there. There's something here as we think about how we support the Vidant ETF, but how can we help the VIA clients as well? Because distribution, as Amrita articulated so well, is a key question that she inquires about when speaking with potential VIA clients. And it's so important to the success of any ETF. And so we started talking about how were there ways that we could structure a partnership where they could provide, by Viden sort of anchoring what we call a sales pod, a sales team at Flex, how could they then provide those same resources to their clients at a relationship level? So that's what we were able to execute on. And so for Viden, VF current clients, as well as potential clients, they're able to leverage the Flex relationship and get access to unmatched scale in distribution, not just the human capital, again, but the broader distribution resources that we can bring to the table. And on the flip side, as Flex, you know, we're able, myself and my colleagues are able to speak with our clients about the potential solutions that VIA might provide to them. As more and more issuers are coming to market, their services, as she articulated, are becoming more and more valuable. And so the partnership has been incredibly powerful because it allows VIA to be kind of a true end-to-end solution from product idea to portfolio management and trading to distribution with the partnership through Flex.
So, Jillian, let's talk more specifically about ETF distribution. And you begin to head down this path just a little bit earlier. But from my perspective, I still feel like the ETF industry is gaining momentum, right? You look at the number of new launches, the record flows, larger asset managers still entering the space. And I think really just the innovation overall. To me, I feel like the industry is mushrooming, what, nearly 30 years after the launch of the first ETF. And I think that's clearly good on one hand, but it's also really tough for ETF issuers because that means more competition. It's much harder to get your products in front of retail investors and financial advisors. Can you talk about that double-edged sword, specifically in the context of ETF distribution?
Yeah, for sure. I think you make such a valid point, Nate. I think, you know, I won't age myself until, I guess I will, been in the ETF industry for, you know, over a decade and a half now, and distribution for two decades. And it's amazing the change that's happened. And if I sort of orient us around the ETF industry and what you said, it's so important. You know, I think a lot of people forget how long ETFs have been around. And those that think they're late to the game, they're not as late as they think, right? Because there's still a lot of new adopters of ETFs, both in the retail space and institutionally. You know, we could have a whole separate conversation on how model portfolios are changing the adoption and accelerating the adoption and commercialization of ETFs. But so there's still, we're still very early innings of the ETF game, if you will. And, you know, I did a report earlier this year with my friends over at Blackwater Search about the changing landscape of ETF distribution. We interviewed over 30 heads of distribution and heads of ETF businesses to get their thoughts on how it's changed. And I'll orient us around two different things. One is that, you know, there's some version of this hybrid virtual versus, you know, in-person is certainly here to stay. You know, the days of flying across the country for one meeting are certainly behind us. What we saw was an increased importance placed on things like providing resources. You know, issuers that had the most success and continue to have the most success, because let's be honest, COVID just accelerated change that was already coming. You know, those that were having most success and continue to are those that are providing resources and research and portfolio construction, due diligence support, education. That's what people are looking for from ETF issuers as they look at the marketplace. You know, it gets blinding sometimes, the number of products that are out there just in one asset class. And so they're looking at the issuers to provide that support and that due diligence there.
Well,
and the other is data, right? The four-letter word, intelligent and targeted communication, you know, using data to inform where they're spending their time, who they're talking about, knowing what advisors want before they want it. It's really, really important. The other thing I'll note about this, Nate, and I think you can probably appreciate this, is sort of this institutionalization of retail. And what I mean by that is the ability to gain access. You said it earlier, right? That platform placement. The ability to gain access to the advisor community has become more and more challenging. It just gets more complicated as we see more active ETFs coming to market, which I can tell you from the conversations I'm having, that's just picking up exponentially. And so what folks aren't considering is how you gain access to those advisors. How do you gain access to those buyers? The decisions on placement and allocations are in the hands of fewer and fewer people, whether it's home office research teams or large RIAs, wealth management advisors. That institutionalization of retail and importance of access, I can't underscore enough, and how it's changing the landscape of ETF distribution, I think fundamentally forever, going forward.
Well, it's so interesting. On platform access, I actually saw a tweet yesterday from Alpha Architects Ryan Kerlin, who's he's mm-hmm. been on the podcast before. He said platform access has never been more difficult in the history of ETFs, yeah. which I thought was interesting. Of course, they're you know an ETF issuer. They have some really interesting products on the market around value and momentum. And, you know, to hear them talk about how difficult it is, I think raised an eyebrow. Jillian, we always say this when you're on the podcast. I think you and I could have a conversation for hours around all of this. But one thing I do want to ask you about, I think you were reading my mind, was model portfolios.
Yeah.
Because last time you were on the podcast, I wanted to talk about this. And I think we ran out of time. Surprise, surprise. But model portfolios can be an enormous distribution channel for ETF issuers. And I'm not sure if you saw this, but actually last week, the Financial Times had a wonderful piece on this topic, and they were specifically talking about how big of a distribution channel this is for BlackRock and iShares ETFs. But can you talk more about the importance of model portfolios from an ETF issuer standpoint?
Absolutely. I think it's a huge part of commercialization strategies for issuers, particularly some of the larger traditional asset managers that are coming into the market. I think you're going to see it be a large part of their commercialization strategy, whether it be their own multi-asset teams or some of the home office platforms. But I think it's a way, if we think about some of the retail advisors out there, they may not feel equipped to make decisions on buying individual ETFs, but they certainly are equipped, and they're consumers of ETF model portfolios today. They were consumers of mutual fund model portfolios as well, and we're seeing that shift to the ETFs as the core anchors of those model portfolios for a host of reasons, the reasons we all love ETFs, right? The cost, the exposures, the ease of use, et cetera. But it's something that I remain keenly focused on at Flex, and thinking about ways that we can work with our clients in that vein, because it is a way to help commercialize strategies that's not necessarily hand-to-hand combat, right? And so it becomes a really important commercialization strategy for issuers of all sizes, both at the home office level as well as at the asset manager level, so for some of the larger firms. So I think it is going to change and accelerate ETF adoption, because it's not just about new issuer or new types of clients that are buying ETFs. It's about new ways they're buying ETFs, and model portfolios remain a huge part of that. You know, one thing, Nate, before we hop off, and I know we are running short on time, I think you mentioned my work with women in ETFs, and one thing that I think is really important to note as it relates to the changing face of distribution is just the increase in women in sales roles. You know, as we were talking just previously about how things have changed, mm-hmm. you know, that move to a more virtual distribution has really increased the number of women that we're seeing welcomed into sales roles, which previously may have not been approachable for them if they try to, you know, work-life balance, if you will. And so I've been excited to see the increase in women in these roles. I actually wrote a piece for it months back for ETF.com. And I think it's important, and I'd be remiss not to mention it because the work that we do with women ETFs is certainly quite special to me, and that's something that we've seen and remain really excited about, that I think is going to continue to be something we see as the face of distribution in the ETF industry changes.
No, it's a great point. And I do think, you know, the ETF space as a whole has tried to be more open, certainly from a diversity standpoint, but clearly there's a lot of work to be done. And I think it's fantastic hearing that because it's needed just across financial services in particular. But Jillian, real quick on the model portfolios, you know, obviously for home offices and broker dealers, I think they like that because maybe it minimizes the due diligence necessary by the end advisor. I think for RIAs, it's this outsourced investment management, right, where they can then focus on clients and building businesses. And so I think that's where the benefit is. And that Financial Times piece that I mentioned earlier, I mean, look, they said BlackRock has set a goal for half of its U.S. ETF flows to come from advisor models. And they said about a third of the flows come from models right now, which was just mind-boggling to me. They also had a data point that just the model portfolio market overall is expected to grow from $4 trillion last year to $10 trillion in the next 5 years, just to show people how big of a you know, potential distribution channel this is. Before I let you go, the one question I do have here, though, is do you see any potential conflicts of interest with model portfolios? Like even with somebody Vanguard, if Vanguard offers model portfolios that are loaded up with Vanguard ETFs, are they operating as a fiduciary here? You know, is that in the best interest of clients? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it is ultimately up to the advisor, right? I think you're going to see, we are seeing adoption of proprietary and third-party models, mm-hmm. right? So I think even the large asset managers recognize that advisors value the diversification inside the model, right? And even if they could construct a 100% proprietary model, there is value being placed on third-party strategies in there. And so, you know, it does provide ability for the larger asset managers to incorporate their own product, and as well as third-party product. Now, what becomes challenging is for some of the smaller issuers who are being placed in there in these models. Frankly, the ability to charge on models is decreasing meaningfully, right? And so the larger asset managers are able to reap the benefit of the expense ratio, but that's a little more challenging for some of the smaller issuers. So it is becoming more and more of a challenge as we think about constructing the models, but there is a real value being placed on third party. So while we do see proprietary models coming to market, advisors are telling us with a lot of their flows that they do value, at least in some part, third party within those models.
Well, Jillian, we will have to leave it there. I really do think we could talk about this stuff for hours, but I always enjoy connecting. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was Jillian Del Signore, head of ETFs and indexing at Flex.